Okay, we're just going over from yesterday. We're starting at the bottom of some account from the bed. Gemara is questioning Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel's position that you don't require a Tanai Kaful. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, believes that one needs a Tanai Kaful. Yesterday we discussed the origins and the source of their machlokas in Tanai b'nei Gad and b'nei Ruvain. What would have been the underlying assumption? What does the addition of the Tanai Kaful do, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel and according to Rabbi Meir? So now the Gemara is going through psukim in the Torah, instances in the Torah, where we see that there is a Tanai Kaful. It's challenging Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel's position. Why does the Torah have to duplicate or create a Tanai Kaful in these instances? The last one we did was on the psukim in Yeshaya. The psukim in Yeshaya discussed in Perek Aleph, right? The Haftorah for Shabbat Chazon. Right, so over there, the pasuk says, and Gemara says, "Bishlam Rabbi Meir, Hainu Dichtiv Im Tovu Ushmatem." Right, then if you listen, right, if you want and you listen, then it says that you will be Tochlu Kol Tov, Tochel Kol Tov. You will eat all good stuff or goodness. V'im Tima'anu, but if you refuse and read them and you rebel, then it says Cherev Tuklu, right, that you will be. The proper translation of Cherev Tuklu is that the sword will devour you, right? You will be eaten by the sword. So, El Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Lomali, why do I need this doubling? Why do I need the positive formulation and then the negative formulation in Yeshaya? Itzrich, we need it. Sakadavta, meaning Tovu Tova. That if you do what's right, things will be good for you. Vim Tima'anu, if you refuse to do what is good, Lo Tova V'Lorai, it won't be bad, it won't be good, but it'll be neutral. Kamash V'lan, that if you don't follow the ways, things will be bad for you. Now the Gemara wants to know, what does it mean when it says, if you do, Im Tovu Umritem, Im Tima'anu Umritem, if you refuse and rebel here, right, then it says, my cheref to uklu, that you will be devoured by the sword. Now at this point, the Gemara is actually trying to interpret the word not as to uklu, but tochelu. And previously in the pasuk, it could also use the term tochelu, right, and tochelu means that which you eat, rather than to uklu, which means you will be consumed by the sword. So Gemara wants to know, what does it mean to eat a sword? How do you eat a sword? How can someone do this? So I'm Rava, I'll tell you how you eat a sword. That is milcho golonita, nehema desari akusha, ubatle. Right, it's a salt. Right, someone who takes hard or big grains of salt and hard barley bread and onions and eats that together, that is equivalent of eating a sword. Damamar patporni chareva. Right, this furnace made dried out bread, but melach with salt of salim. And onions, kashim the guf kecharavot. It's what? It's as bad for the body as swords. So that's what it means. Cherev, if you had said tochelu, tuklu, again, would have meant that the sword devours you. Rather, cherev tochelu means that, what does it mean to you eat the sword? So if you eat the sword, this is the example or the idea of eating the sword, means that you consume these hard, difficult foods. Now, bishlam, all the Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. So now, the Gemara says the other way around. According to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, it makes sense, Hainu Dichtiv, it makes sense what it says in Parshat Sotah. In Parshat Sotah, right, it says, I don't know if you guys got it, I sent out yesterday the psukim to everybody, said they would have the psukim and the highlights of the psukim here. But the psukim in the Sotah says, Im lo shachav ishotach, ve'im lo satit tumatach adisheich, hinaki. Right, that if you, right, did not do anything wrong, right, and you did not violate your marriage, then hinaki, you will be clean, meaning you will be free. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, what should have happened? You should have had a Tanai Kaful. Tanai Kaful should have said then, if you do violate, right, your marriage contract, in a sense, or your obligations to your husband, and you did have an external or extramarital affair, then something bad should happen. But that's not found in the psukim. The Gemara wants to know why, according to Rabbi Meir, is it not doubled? Now, I'll read you the psukim, and you'll see that it's interesting. The psukim has twice that the Kohen is mashbi'ah the isha. So at first, we learned this when we were doing sotah, there was a shvu'ah without an Allah, and there's a shvu'ah with an Allah. Right? So the pasuk begins, v'yishbi'ah Kohen, otah Kohen. The Kohen makes you take a shvu'ah, v'amar l'isha. And this is the pasuk we just quoted. Im lo shachav ish otach. So if you did nothing wrong, right? Then you'll be totally clean, right? Everything, you'll be free and clear of these... what? Hamarim, Hamit, Arurim, Ha'ila, right? You'll be freed of these waters. Va'at. Now listen to this pasuk. Va'at, Hisati Tacharishik. This would be the other formulation, the negative formulation. V'chitit nitmeit. V'itenish bach etchabto mibal deishik. If you did violate your marital contract, v'hishbi'a kohen et aisha b'shvuat Allah. Again, another v'hishbi'a kohen. You'll be in Allah and Shavuah. So truthfully, what's the Gemara's question over here? There are two things. First of all, there is a formulation that if you did nothing, meaning that if you were okay and you did not have an extramarital affair, you'll be clean. That is Atki Satech. If you did do wrong, then the Me'amarim will come along and you'll be punished with the Shavuah. Right?
Maybe that's
It says v'chi, which is also, right?
Right,
ki is used as a replacement for im. Alright, need that. So Rashi goes out of his way here to show there are actually two shvuot here. There's v'ishbi'a kohen, and the v'ishbi'a kohen happens twice. So Rashi says there are actually two shvuot. The first shvuah, v'ishbi'a kohen, right, is only im lo shachav ishotah. Right, that's only if the hinaki part, only if you did nothing wrong, will you be clear? But the Ati Siteich Tachadi Sheikh is not referencing the first Vishbiyah Kohen, only the second Vishbiyah Kohen. Right, we said that it says twice Vishbiyah Kohen, and the first Shvuah, and then there's a Shvuah within Allah. So Rashi says that's what the Gemara's issue is. The Gemara's issue is that first there's a Shvuah that only references the possibility of her doing right, or has she done right, Hinaki, she would be free and clear. Then there's Ati Siteich Tachadi Sheikh, that if you did, right, wrong over here, then there's an additional v'ishbi'a kohen. That references the second shvuah, not the first shvuah, and because of that, Rashi says, that's why the Gemara has a question here according to Rabbi Meir. Where is the t'nai kapul? Right, now Tosfos raises two issues with the pshat here. One issue is with any pshat, and the second issue is with Rashi's pshat. The first issue he raises is, when we said t'nai b'nei gad b'nei ruvain, we said that there are three qualifications. One is that it's a t'nai kapul. The other qualification that is the hain comes before the lav. The positive formulation comes before the negative formulation. And the last thing is that the t'nai comes before the ma'aseh. So over here, right, one problem we're going to have, and we'll see what the other problem is afterwards, is the hain is not before the lav. Over here, the positive formulation is not before the negative formulation, because it says the first is v'shpia kohen im lo shachav, right, de im lo satit. And then only afterwards, the Zeve Atzitzatit Tacharishay doesn't make the other statement. The Maitre is before. We'll see that in a second. The Maitre is before the Tanai, but let's get the answer first and we'll see that Shaul's right. The Maitre is also before the Tanai. But, what do you see here? You see, Tosa says that when you come to a Tanai Kaful, what's positive and negative has nothing to do with the formulation, but rather the substance of the Shvuah. I mean that it's not the form, whether it's said in the positive form or in the negative form, but it has to do with what we want you to do. So in the case of Tnai B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain, we wanted them to go Chalutim L'Tnai Tzava, to inherit the Evar Yardin. So that becomes the Hain aspect of it. Over here by Sotah, right, we don't want her to have an extramarital affair, so therefore the positive statement, the Hain statement is, that you didn't do the wrong thing. Even though it's formulated, the form is negative, it's actually the positive substance, and that's why it makes it a hain before the lab. Now we'll get to Shaul's question in a second. Let's see what the answer is according to Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Chanina, we understand why there's only one side, but why Rabbi Meir requires a t'nai kaful. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi, so he says, Elwell the Rabbi Meir, chinki mi baile. He learns the word to mean chinki. Alright, because that we said when if she did nothing wrong, it says he naki mi arim ha'ile, right, that you will be clean or cleansed of, free of these waters. But the way the word is spelled, Rashi says it's without a yud, the he, right, it's not malay, and therefore it can also be interpreted. We saw this in the Gemara and Sota, right, we saw this together, that the Gemara also interprets it to mean chinki, from chanak, which means to choke, right, so therefore, he naki mi baile, amar rabbi tankun, he naki ktiv, right, it's written he naki. But, because that's the Mesoret, is the way it's written, it sounds like chinki, that you will be choked. So now, based on this, what Rashi suggests here, is that the Pasuk actually has two tzadim, meaning that the chinki was going to reference the Pasuk afterwards, which is like this, we'll read it. You'll be free and clear. Now read it again. You'll be choked by these waters. Because of the fact that you cheated on your husband. Ah, we said before that Ba'at Kisateit is referring to the second Shvua. As the Rashi says, because of the Mesorah of Sinki, we say Ba'at Kisateit references both the first Shvua and the second Shvua. It's the end of the Pasuk of Sinki. It's also the beginning of the second Shvua. So that's how Rabbi Meir deals with it. Rabbi Meir says there's two things. Now, once you've done that, you run into the problem that Shaul brought up. Now you have the Ma'aseh before the Tanai. Because the Sinki, right, the punishment is done before the Tanai, the condition of what you need to do to fail or not fail. So because of that, Tosfos gives an alternative explanation. So two explanations. He brings one from the Rach, which I won't explain. It's in the Tosfos, the small print of the Tosfos, who reads, he has an interesting way of reading the Psukim to do this. But the Re, on the other side, says that it has nothing to do with the At Kisateit. Right? He says it has nothing to do with the Pasuk afterwards. But the fact that the word Kinki is there indicates that the Kohen should do what? That the Kohen says the first part of the Pasuk, he says that Im lo shachav ish otach, Im lo satit tumat tachar ishek, hi nati. Then the fact that there's a Mesorah, that also means Kinki, that the Kohen himself inserts the words and says, V'im lo shecha, right? It's not written, but it's implicit in the fact that there's Kinki there, that the fact that we have a Mesorah, that's what the Kohen adds in, it's because of the word Kinki, it's as if it said. And therefore the Kohen goes and says, right, according to the Reed, right, Oksiv Hindiki, V'avi ki'ilu hayak tiv Kinki, V'akohen hayak hozer, V'kofel. He would repeat this and say, Im shechav, ish otach, then Kinki. He would repeat the pasuk again in the formulation, the positive formulation, but the formulation that you did something wrong, chinti. And he would read the whole pasuk over. It has nothing to do with the subsequent pasuk, v'at kisatit. What is the Rebbe Marviach with that? Then always the tnai is before the maaseh. Because there is a tnai because it's implicit in the word chinti. He says that you repeat the pasuk with im shachav, and that is the tnai. And that tnai comes before the maaseh. Again, if you don't like to read, you can go to the Reino Fanano, has an alternative shot of reading. It's a very interesting shot.
The repetition is the Im Shachav?
Yeah, he repeats it with it, right. He reformulates the whole pasuk and says it again in a positive form. Even though it's not written there, he repeats it in a positive form and then says Chinki at the end instead of Hinaki. That's exactly what happens. The Kohen repeats the pasuk. Gemara says, Elo Rabbi Chanina. Now, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Lomali. Why do I need two? Now, before we thought it was great for Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel because it wasn't written twice. But now if you say Hinaki and Chinki, there is a Tanai couple now. So what does Rabbi Hanina do with that? Say Yitzrich. He would say, Tachadag Mecha Lo Shechav Ish Chinaki. I would have thought, now again, so like you were saying before, that had I said that nothing, I mean, had I not had the Chinki, I would have thought if she did nothing wrong, then everything is clear. Hinaki, she would be clean. Vim Shechav Lo Hinaki Velo Chinki. If she did something wrong, she would not be clean, but she also would not be choked. I mean, it wouldn't be bad. At least Surah Balma, she would have had, said she would have violated an Easter, but it wouldn't have been a big punishment. Kamash Malon, that's a Kinki. That not only if she did something wrong is she over an Easter, but then she will be choked. She will be punished by the waters, and the waters will be Nechnaspa, right, and choke her. So now Gemara brings another case. Bishlom, other Rabbi Meir, so this is again from Paraduma. So by Paraduma, it states that when the person comes to be Matar himself, from Paraduma, it says, Hu yitchata bo, bayom hashlishi, u bayom hashvi'i itar. Right, so that if he gets sprinkled on him, on the third and the seventh day, what happens? Right, then he is tahor. Ve'im lo yitchata, if he does not sprinkle on himself in the third and seventh day, then he will not be tahor. Right, the pasuk says, "Hu yitchata bo bayom hashlishi u'bayom hashvi'i yitar." Vim lo yitchata bayom hashlishi u'bayom hashvi'i lo yitar. According to Rabbi Chanina, why do you have to repeat the tanai kafu? It's not necessary. You could have had it if you said the positive statement. If he does it, he's tahor. Obviously, if he doesn't do it, then he is not tahor. Elo Rabbi Chanina b'nei lomali. So he says itzrich. Salka zat chamina. I would have thought mitzvah hazav b'shliushi u'vishvi. Right, that the mitzvah is to do it on the third and seventh day. The heichay the avod chadminayu avod. All right, if you did one out of the two, it's sufficient. Meaning that it's enough. You could say, Hu tabo b'yom ha-shlishi u'v'yom ha-shvi. That's l'chatzchila. But if you just did it on the shlishi u'shvi, that would be enough. Kamash malon, that if you don't do it on both days, then you are not, right, tahor. One is not sufficient. Now, this question, according to Rashi, this question is on both Rabbi Chanina and on Rabbi Meir. Because the Sukkim later on come back and say again, Behizah tohor ala tameh bayom ashlishi uvayom ashvi'i. That the tahor will sprinkle on him on the third and seventh day. V'chito bayom ashvi'i. And then another time, he will give a sprinkle on him on the seventh day. Question is, why does it repeat it again, the necessity to have him be sprinkled on the third and seventh day? Seems extraneous. Even if Rabbi Meir requires Tznai Kaful, we already have a Tznai Kaful earlier in the Parsha. So why is it now the Torah is bringing it back? So now, the way our Gemara reads is, he's at Torah, so maybe Yom HaShlishi or Yom HaShvi'i is what the Gemara is questioning. According to the Gra, over here, they're quoting the next part of the Pasuk, which is the Chito B'Yom HaShvi'i. And that's what the Gemara is focusing on here. Lomali, what do I need that extra for? Itzrich. Salka, that's, I mean, I would have thought Shlishi Limi'utei Sheni. And when it comes to the third day, it tells you that the second day is not sufficient. You need to wait at least 3 days of Tara before you can get sprinkled on. Shvi'i, the Me'utei Shishi. And the seventh day comes to say that you have to wait at least to the seventh day to sprinkle again. The Kamamayit Bimei Tara. Because then you're reducing the number of days of clean days you need. You need a minimum of 3 to get to the first sprinkling and a minimum of 7 to get to the second sprinkling. V'hei Tadavai B'Shlishi U'B'Shemini. But if you did it on the third day and the eighth day, the Kamafish Bimei Tara. There you're expanding the number of days of Tara that you have. Eima Shaper Dami. Then you would say, just fine. So Kamash Malon, that puzzle comes to teach you, no, that it must be particularly on the Shvi'i. Now, just to be clear, the only thing the Torah is makpid on is actually the duration between the third and the seventh day. Which means that you can't do it before the third day, because then you don't have any days of Yimei Tara. But you could do it on your fourth day, your fifth day, your seventh day of Tara, because the fact that you've waited, or just postponed it, doesn't change anything. You still have 3 days of Tara before you get your first sprinkling. So you could... Right, then you have to wait an additional 4 days afterwards. What the Torah is mafid on is the gap between the third and the seventh day. You must have 4 days between the third day sprinkling and the seventh day sprinkling. So now, b'chit o, right, b'yom ha-shvi lamali. So again, we said that I think the grow would have to switch it and read it the other way around. B'yiz ha-torah, like the maybe yom ha-shvi should be. Why is that? Because we have two of these secondary extraneous. Itzrich. Again, we need these. Zakadat ha-min ha-nimi l'kod shim. The grow amends it to read l'kodesh because it makes sense. Because the next pasuk is, right, v'ish asher yisma v'loy tzata v'nichvata nevshahi mitoch ha-kahal ket mikdash Hashem timet. Because he entered into the mikdash. Not that he ate kodshim, but because he went into the mikdash. So therefore the Gra meant it to read that it's not that he, the kodshim, but rather, right, the mikdash over here. But either way, we would have thought to have a meaning that you only need this tara to be permitted to enter the mikdash and to eat kodshim. Aval the truma, b'chad nami sagya. By truma, it would be enough to have either the third day or the seventh day. So it comes along the pasuk and says, no, for any form of kodesh, you need, right, both the third day and the seventh day. Even for truma, you need both days. And therefore, that's why I think the Gra switched the lashon here, because there it says, here it says, Zizeh Torah Tamei, Be Yom HaShlishi, Uve Yom HaShvi, to teach you both of them. But the question before was, Kito Be Yom HaShvi'i, Kamash Malan. Alright, so that's, Kamash Malan. Alright, now next Mishnah, the Mishnah that we encountered earlier in the Masechta. And this we encountered because we had Dvarim Shabalev, Enim Dvarim. So we quoted this Mishnah and we discussed that topic earlier on in the, right, in the Masechta. So over here it says, the Mekadesh Yiti Isha, Valmar, Kesuv Ra'it Ishi Kohenet. It says, I thought she was a Kohenet. Vari Leviyah, turns out she's a Levi. Leviyah? Right, after he got married to her, he says, I thought when I married her that she was a Kohenet. Now he finds out she's a Levi. But this, all he did was think. He didn't say anything. It wasn't a premise. She didn't deceive him. Right, he just thought in his mind. Livia, very Kohenet. He thought she was a Levi, she's really a Kohen. Ania, very Ashira, she's poor, turns out she's rich. Ashira, she's rich, very Ania, turns out she's poor. Harizumi Kadeshet, right, there is full Kiddushin here. Bipnei Shalom Hitato, she never deceived him. I mean, that was Dvarim Shabalev, Dvarim Shabalev, there were Dvarim, and he can't make such a claim afterwards to uproot or, right, to ruin the Kiddushin that he established. Aomer Li Shareth Mukdeshet Lila Achar She'et Gayer. This is the new stuff. What? After I convert, we will be married. Oh, lachar she'tzitkari. After you convert, we'll get married. Lachar she'eshtecharer. After it's an eved knaizad. After I'm freed, we will get married. Oh, lachar she'tishtachari. He says to a shivcha kananit. Yisrael says to a shivcha kananit. After you are freed, we'll get married. Lachar she'imot balek. When your husband dies, we'll be married. This is estate planning. Right? Oh, lachar she'tamud dachotech. Or after your sister dies, meaning that he was probably divorced from his sister. Her sister, and they said, when your sister dies, we will be married. Lachashi yachaluk slash yivamech. After we, your yivama performs yibum with you, chalitza with you, right, then we'll be married. Ain't a mikudeshit. In all these instances, you are not mikudeshit. We're going to see in the Gemara, because this is a failure. This is a davar. Shalom bali olam. You're dealing with something that does not exist now. You're trying to exercise a right on something that is not present right now. V'chein omer l'chaveiro, im yalda yishtecha nekeva, if your wife has a girl, I'm marrying her. Eina mikudesh, it doesn't work, again, because the baby is not present. Right now, the Gemara says, not hatam. So now we're going to go again on to a tangent about truma, and the Gemara is going to come back to our Mishnah. Ein tormim min etalush ala mechubar. One cannot, when they separate out truma, truma must be taken from grain that is already harvested. Okay, Rashi claims that the reason that you have to do it from grain that's already harvested is because of the word dagan. And dagan means midei demidgan, something that is piled, right, up and put into the, you know, put into the storehouse, something that is put in the silo. So therefore, it's midei demidgan, and therefore that's what fails. When it's attached to the ground, it fails that test. Tosfos, on the other hand, says, brings another opportunity because he has problems with Rashi's shot of midgan, because that would indicate that you would have to wait until Miriah Hakri, you'd have to wait until the grains were brought to the storehouse in order to be chayv and truma. But we see in other instances where someone, if the levy is maksim in the shivolim to take maestrishon, that in some instances, right, that there is the possibility of a chiyuv truma at that point in time, that he did something wrong. So we see there is a chiyuv truma even before the isgan aspect. So Tosfos says he thinks that it's from mimenu velo min hamechubar. He has some sort of a limud that tells us that you can't do it. You have to do it from the talush, from that which is separated and not which is mechubar. Either way, the requirement to take off truma is only once it's separated. So now, if he takes off minatalush, he has some grain that's already harvested and some that's still in the ground. Bim taram ain trumato truma. If he tries to do it, doesn't work. Baimini Ravashim Rabbi Yochanan. Amar perot arugazu tlushim. I have these fruits that are already picked. You truma aruga perot arugazu mechubarim will be truma on these fruits that are still on the tree. Perot arugazu mechubarim. You truma perot arugazu tlushim. Or these fruits on the tree will be truma for the fruits that they've already picked or harvested. If he formulates it as saying, when I pick them, they will be truma, right? Then, finit lishu, and they are picked, mau, what is the din? Amalai, kol should be ado, lav mechuser maizadami. Anything that was in your control does not lack the maset. So the fact that you can pick these items makes it within your control. Since it's within your control, as if they are picked, and therefore, in the future, when they are picked, they will either take on the shame truma, or they will be already not tevel because you took truma off from somewhere else. So now they're going to ask from our Mishnah. Eitve, Omer li shariyat mekdesh li lachar sheyetgayer, lachar sheyetgari, lachar sheyetachareir, lachar sheyetishtachari, lachar sheyimot baleich, lachar sheyetemot achutech, lachar sheyachlok leich yivamech, eina mekdeshet. Now Gemara says, bishlom akulu, all the examples of our Mishnah, not a problem, la biyodo, they're not in its control. Ella, what? Which one is in his control? Ger, habibiyodo. He says, when I convert, right, then we will be married. Conversion is, his conversion's in his control. So why don't we say that that is a successful marriage, or why can't that be a successful kiddushin? So love, so he says, ger nami labiyodo. Truth be, a ger is not in his control. Why is it not in his control? The amar Rabbi Chiya ba'av amar Rabbi Yochanan. Because when it comes to a ger tzarich shlosha. You need a basin of shalosh, right? You need a basin of shalosh anashim to generate gerut. Why? Because it says by gerut, my time of mishpat tivei kedin. It says mishpat by ger, and mishpat sounds like a din, and a din requires shalosha. What you need the shalosha for is interesting. Rashi over here, he claims you need the shalosha anashim. So he's gakim lo lahat below, that there to be maskelim, although diyam mitzat mitzvot kalot v'chomorot. It doesn't tell him some of the mitzvot. Tosfos, on the other hand, says no, it has to do with the kabbalat mitzvot. When he sets on himself the kabbalat mitzvot, that's when he needs the three. But the tefillah can be done even without the three that are present there. Tosfos goes through other iterations later on, whether you really do need three by tefillah or not need three by tefillah, but he seems to think that you do not need three people there as witnesses to the tefillah, you just need it there for the kabbalat mitzvot. Alright, and then Tosfos mentions the Tosfos that we've seen earlier on, we saw this in Gittin, that the Gemara over there says that we were not permitted to do dine knasot, but we were permitted to do, right, dine chavalot, right, gazelot and chavalot. And there we said that gazelot and chavalot need three. So then Tosfos back there, and Gittin also mentioned that gerut is davar shishchicha, it's something that's common, and shlichutayu adina, and therefore we're doing there, right, they're messengers. We're messengers of the original batei dinim, and therefore we don't require smuchim because we're doing the shlichus of them, and we can also do gerut today, modern day gerut, based on the shlichus from them, and it requires three, like gzelot and chavalot. The other possibility, which is Rabbeinu Natano says, that the reason you don't need mumchim for gerut is because by gerut it says l'dorotechem. You'll be able to accept gerim forever. So it's obvious that if the Torah says you can do it forever, we know there's a time when there's not going to be smuchim. The fact that the Torah says you can do it forever, and there are no smuchim, means that it must not require smuchim. So that's what Rabbeinu Netanel says. Therefore, you can accomplish gerut, right, with three hedyotot, based on the fact that either there's no requirement for mumchim or according to Tosfos, because we shluchutayu abdinan, that we are doing the shlichus, or the bidding of the original bati dinim. Either way, right, we need three. Mi yemar din kakule. How does he need flata? How does he know he's going to find three people? I mean that he's dependent on others to get the beis din to accept his gerut. That fact means it's not all in his hands. There's still external factors that make it out of his hands.
That's
all right. So now the Gemara is going to ask other. Hey, you can come up with a case. So here, Matzik law. Rabbi Avraham bar Maimon Matzah. No tein pruta l'shibchato. Someone gives a pruta to his maid servant. Amar yaratzim kedeshet li. Lachashet shecharech. After eshtecharech. Right. After I free you. Right. Then I will marry you. So then, hakanam adav kedushin. Right. That should be good. No, it should be kedushin according to Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan, it's in your control. Right. You can free her anytime you want, and so it should be okay. Right, it says Achi Ashkel. It's a very interesting statement of the Gemara. How can you compare these cases? Hotami kara behema. Her classification prior to being freed as an animal. Hasadata keret. Now she is a human being. So Rashi says that is such a big gap, right? That it's just too big a gap to overcome, and therefore there isn't a bigger chisaron than that. Moving from right behema, right? The Gemara in many places says that eknani is ama domela chamor. Right, in comparison to chamor that don't have rights, quote unquote. Right, like regular Israel. And now also she comes into that qualification where she gets rights like Israel. So that changes. It's just too big to have it work from one point to the other. The Gemara is going to give alternative answers in a second. They will work to answer this as well. V'ilo ha'adam ha'rabayushin, ha'amtein prutal ishto, says, gives a prut of his wife that he's currently married to. After I divorce you, we'll be married again. Oh, so divorce is in his control. And what? She's an Israelite now, and she's going to be Israelite afterwards. That should work. Eina mekudeshet. Why is it Eina mekudeshet? Afanami Rabbi Yochanan David kedushin. Right. So what? It should be kedushin according to Rabbi Yochanan. He has control. Right. It should work. The Gemara says no. He doesn't have control. Nehi to biyado legarsha. He has control for the divorce. Biyado lekatsha. No, not necessarily. She can say no afterwards. Right. So since the kedushin is only effective after the divorce, his wife has the right to refuse or deny the kedushin. The fact that she can deny the kedushin leaves it out of his control. So again, now you can answer the same thing for the shivcha. The shivcha is the same thing. If he says, after I free you, we'll get married with this prutah, you can answer the same thing here, which is that the kedushin are not in his control. She has to accept the kedushin after she is freed, and that fact of the acceptance, right, will not be, it will be out of his control, and that's out of control, right, it can't work. Okay, tifsho, so based on this, let us answer a question. The Bai Rav Oshia. First, you had a question. So a man comes up to a woman, hands her two prutos. Says, "Bachas, Amar la itkashi li ayom." The first one he says, "We're married today." Ubachas, and the second one he says, "This is great." Again, this is long-term planning. Amar la itkashi li lachar shegarshich. This one is for when I divorce you, we'll be married again. Right? So she married today twice, one for today and one for after I divorce you. So now, dishamina v'lavi kedushin. It should be clear that the second one is not kedushin. Why? But it's after the divorce, and we have to wait for her acceptance after the divorce. That's not in his control. So the second pruta should fail. So when it says, no. Maybe that's different. Why? Wait, this is different than the previous case. In the previous case, he's unable to exercise the right now. It's all in the future. But right now, this man has the ability to be mikdash right now, as well as the ability to mikdash in the future. Why? Because I could have done the kedushin immediately. So maybe that entitles me to also have kedushin work in the future, as opposed to when I'm married now and I have to be divorced in order for that to happen. Right now, the kedushin are meaningless because the kedushin cannot be effective right now. So it's a migo that I could have married you now. It'll also work in the future. So her acceptance, that might be her acceptance now, might be an acceptance for both because of the control. So that's the Gemara opposite up as a possibility. Gemara says you just can't be conclusive about this case. Doesn't mean that it is that way. Gemara opposite it up is the other possibility, Dilma, and that you can't prove anything. From what we've known till today, there might be a difference here because there is a way to formulate it differently. Tanya Kavati de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a bright that supports Rabbi Yochanan's position that if it's in your control, then it's okay. Why? Ain karmim min atalush al mechubar. This is again the same issue we had before. You're not allowed to take off and that which is separate, harvested already, on that which is still attached. Vim taram, ain trumato truma. So again, this is the same as we saw earlier. Kesat Now the Gemara says, how does this work? Amar perot arugazu tushim miyu truma perot arugazu mechuberet. That these perot in this little patch over here, right, will be truma that already picked. Will be truma on the other perot that are still planted in the ground. Perot arugazu mechuberet miyu truma. Or the ones in the ground will be truma al perot arugazu tushim, the stuff that I already picked. Lo amar klum. Meaningless. Aval amar, if he said, likishe yitlishu, when they will be picked, vinitlashu, and then they were picked, vinitlashu, dvarav, kayamim. That's exactly like Rabbi Yochanan. If you say, when they will be picked in the future, and you have the ability, it's within your control, then dvarav, kayamim, it works. Yet there are gain. Now we have a bigger person. Now we have, beyond Rabbi Yochanan, we have, Amar Rabbi ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yochanan ben Yaakov extends Rabbi Yochanan's position over here. What does he say? He says, "Afilu amar," right? Perot arugazu tlushim, iyu truma a perot arugazu mechuberet. Perot arugazu mechuberet, iyu truma a perot arugazu tlushim. Likishiyaviu shlish vitalshu. So now we know that the Rashi says over here that tvua, until it reaches a third of its growth, it's not even tvua. It's not called tvua. So since it's not called tvua already, right then. If you said likishi slashu, even Rabbi Yochanan would say it's not sufficient, won't work. Why? Rabbi Yochanan says it's actually only something that's missing your action. But over here, it hasn't reached the shlish yet, it's missing growth, plus your picking of it. So then it would fail according to Rabbi Yochanan the test, and you couldn't do something in the future. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you are able to do it in this instance. Why are you able to do it in this instance? Because he says, okay, you just say when it will grow, plus when it's picked. So you see from Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he says, it doesn't just have to be in your control. Even if it's out of your control, you're allowed to be makdish or do things with things that are davar shelo bo le'olam. We're going to see at the end of today's class that the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is that you can make a kinyan or you can be makne, something that is lo ba le'olam, that's something that is not present yet. And that's the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So there he says, look, viyu shlish, vital shu. Viyu shlish, then they grew to a shlish, vini tal shu, and they were picked. Dvarav kayamim, it works according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov.
They were in the process already.
Oh, very good. So that's my ear, exactly, very good. Ta'amar Rabba, lo amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, ela b'shachas. That it has to be at least where the stalks have hardened already. Right? Because then you know it's already in process, as you said, right? It's in process, it's already on the way to going to a shlish. He doesn't have to do anything and he'll get to that shlish, no problem. Aval be'agam lo. But if they're soft, if the stalks are still soft, there's a lot more risk, there's a chance it won't get there, so there we say no. Rabbi Yosef Amar, afilu be'agam. Even if the stalks are soft, the fact that they already got it out of the ground, that's sufficient in order. There's something tangible there. Once something tangible is there, that's enough to say that it can reach the shlish. Right.
Yeah,
but the point is here, so what they're qualifying, both of them are qualifying with Elizabeth and Yaakov, to say that if it's Devarsha Eino Vali Olam Legam, right? I mean, if it doesn't exist at all, then everybody agrees it doesn't work. The only question is, how much of Vali Olam does it need to be? I mean, how far along does it have to be? According to Rabbo, it has to reach the point where it's already shachat, where the point where it's already useful. It's chashuv and useful, because you can chop it down for animal feed. So this fact is already useful, already it has tashivus. Once it has tashivus, then for it to go to a shlish, that's fine, that we can let you go on its own. Rabbi Yosef says, no, it doesn't have to have tashivus, it just has to be something that is right, available in some way, something that's there is enough. As long as it exists in some form, that is sufficient. Right, it says, my mashim dai hagam lishna de butlanahu. How do we know this word agam? I translated for you the word agam to mean soft, right? How do we know that this word agam really means botlana, something that is just peering out of the ground that's still soft? How do we know this? Amar Elazar, Amar Kra, we know it from the pasuk from Yeshaya, right? From Yeshaya Nunchet, which is actually the Torah for Shachris Yom Kippur, says alakof kagmon rosho, right? That Hashem really wants you to bend your head over kagmon, like the bulrush, right? Like the bulrush means the flexible bulrush. If you want to bend your head over, I mean, that's not what Hashem's looking for, the heart, not for the trappings that it looks like you're doing tshuva. He wants the real tshuva. It's not like agmon here, he means something soft, something that is flexible. That's something that because la hadatanya. Who does this brisa go like? Ha'omer l'chaveiro, the Rashi says it's not on the Tanakhama, but we're going to see in a minute, it's Rabbi Chanina's position. Tanya, omer l'chaveiro, m'yalta yishtecha nekeba, if your wife gives birth to a girl, m'kadeshali, it's married to me, lo mar klum, it fails. Now, that is, she's not pregnant yet. If she's already pregnant, then it works. Come on. What happened here? Come on. Who's it like? If we go like Rabbi, it's because Shuhukar Ubra. The woman, we have to be far enough in her pregnancy that the Ubar is recognizable. It's recognizable that she is pregnant, because that's what Rava needs you to be far enough along that you already have something significant.
Right.
It may not be a female. If it's not a female, the whole thing doesn't work. But if it is a female, shukur bra is sufficient. Ikur Rav Yosef, avavishalukur bra. Quite Rav Yosef, it just has to be there. It doesn't have to be significant. Therefore, if she's pregnant, it's enough. Not that, if she's not pregnant, there's nothing to talk about. If she's pregnant, even if it's not hukar bra, it would be sufficient. Bigadamre, Amaraba, Lo Amarabi Lezim and Yaakov, Beshachat, the Bei Kibsha. That Rabba only made a statement when it comes to Shachat straw, or that the, you know, the stalks that are growing in a field that is rain, is supplied by rain. About Beshachat, the Beshachya, but if it comes to a field that is irrigated, lo, then it won't work. Rab Yosef, Marfil Beshachat, the Beshachya. Even in a irrigated field. Again. Right, it requires additional effort. Many times it will fail. That's the way Rashi reads it. And many times it won't make it. I mean, that when it's a field that gets fed by the rain, almost 99% of the time it will make it, but the rain comes and it goes. But if you have to feed it, sometimes you won't feed it enough water, you give it too much water, and there's a high likelihood of failure in a Bei Shakya. So Gemara asks, how does Tanya? Now the Gemara answers the same question again. How does this price go? Like, Dai Omer L'Chavirim Yada Yishtecha, right, Nekeva Mikudeshet Ali. Lo Amar Klum, he said nothing. That's if she's not pregnant yet. If she is pregnant, it does work. Come on. So what does it work like? Kisha Hukar Ubra. It has to be when the Ubar is already visible. And then it'll go according to everybody. Meaning that only in the case, only when do we differentiate, according to Rabban reveals, do we differentiate between a field that is red, is rain fed, which is Bidei Shamayim, that Hashem takes care of it, versus a Shabbat Shakya, which is that human being has to fiddle with it and make sure that it works. So when you have Hukar Ubra, then it requires something of significance, which is Shachat, and Hukar Bra is Bidei Shamayim. That's something that goes, right, the person doesn't do anything, that Hashem makes the Ubar grow, continue to grow, and it's out of his hands. Okay, so now, Amar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Virabi, Rabbi Meir, Kulu Sfirlu, Adam Makneh, Dabar Shalom Balulam. All these three hold that a person can give over something that is not in the world yet. So now, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Hadamran. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is what we already stated. Alright, we'll do the other two tomorrow. What I will point out here is, Rashi says the halacha here is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Why? Because Mishnato, Kav Vinaki. We always say about Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Kav Vinaki. Right, so the different interpretations of Kav Vinaki means either the halacha is always like him, or he had so few, or whatever he did very carefully and was very particular about it. But nevertheless, because of that statement of Mishnah Kavnaki, Rashi passes like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So he says, no, the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because we find a similar machlokas in Davar Shelo B'Leolam, in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. In the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the machlokas is between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman paskins that Davar Shelo B'Leolam is not a good Kenyan, and we always paskin like Rav Nachman, because he was a Dayan, he was a Batra, and therefore the halacha is Rav Nachman, and it would be against the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, we'll stop over here.